Zaklo, without further delay, it is our honor to invite to speak to the believers on this night where we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi from Pakistan, who will be speaking about the revolutionary movement of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. We invite him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونشكره ونتوسل إليه ونتوكل عليه ثم نصلي ونسلم على خير خلقه حافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المنتخبين سيما بقية الله في الأراضين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العلي العظيم Please recite aloud salawat. Today we all are gathered to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, who is known as the sixth Imam and also the leader of Fiqh Ja'fariyah. Generally, when we remember Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, or when we attend the majalis or mahafil which are on the name of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, generally they are talking about the aspect which is related to their ilm or fadilat their ilm about Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Whereas when we look at the speeches of the supreme leader and also those who are revolutionary, we see that they talk about another aspect, which is the major aspect and which covers the whole life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is being revolutionary. They talk about the revolution of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and in that revolution, one of those aspects which we can talk about is the ilm or fadilat ilm or the Islamic seminary. But generally, when we see in the hawza, when we see in the gatherings, either it's the viladat of Imam or it's the shahadat of Imam, generally people or ulama, they come and they talk about the fadilat ilm only, and they forget about the main role of Imam in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about when we say that Imam was revolutionary, or we're going to talk about the revolution of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, it means that we are talking about a system which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that system, He sent 124,000 prophets and messengers. And after the last prophet or the seal of the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the time for Imam Ali, the imamah, to start. And that was also in line with the same goal, with the same goals and the, we can say, like principles which were brought by the prophets before him. And this system goes on, it reaches to us, which is the time of the 12th imam. What we want to basically learn or discuss about the things, obviously the seniors, they know about it. I'm talking to the new generation, the youngsters or those who are not related to the Hawza, is that Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was completely a revolutionary person. When Supreme Leader says that man inqalabiyam, basically he's quoting a quote from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, because Imam Sadiq is a revolutionary. In his revolution, he has one aspect, how to fight with the enemies. So therefore, when we look at the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we see that it is divided into two different parts. Basically, he was combating, he was fighting with two regimes. Today we have regimes like the Zionist regime, the American regime, the arrogant regimes. They all are known as one. So we don't have two enemies at the moment. But Imam Sadiq at his time, he had two enemies, two different regimes. The first regime was Umayyad regime, which was Banu Umayyah. I don't know if I need to use the Arabic terminologies or English, because we have other people like attending the session as well. So let me use the Arabic terminologies more than the English, like Umayyad's Abbasid. It's better to say Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas. It's more familiar for us. So basically, Imam alayhi salam had two regimes against him. One was Banu Umayyah, the second was Banu Abbas. There's a big difference between these two regimes. When we look at the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we see that his first time, which was he was combating or fighting with the first regime, which was Banu Umayyah, his revolution was apparent revolution. He showed himself apparently. He opposed Banu Umayyah apparently. It wasn't like the time of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. It wasn't like the time of Imam Baqir alayhi salam even. Because we see in the history that the first 10 years, which was the Umayyad Caliphate, and after that the Abbasid started, in that time Imam clearly opposed Banu Umayyah. He clearly talked about his own being the Imam of the time. He clearly talked about himself being the descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is a history behind it. The reason is that the people of that time, they were ignorant. The people of the time were ignorant towards Ahlul Bayt, towards who are the family of the Prophet. For example, for those who were living in Shamat, who were living in the Syria and the area like under the governorship of Banu Umayyah, they knew or they used to believe that the Banu Umayyah is the only Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. And that's why we see when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam got martyred, they say like Ali, what he was doing in the mosque, what he had to do to the mosque. So it was surprising for them. Why? Because they used to think, and it was propagated obviously, this is what enemy do. You know, there's a beautiful statement by Supreme Leader about hijab, or you know, this situation that we have in today's world. He says that unfortunately we don't have the media in our hands. Unfortunately, we don't have media in our hands. Today, when we put on veil or hijab, they say us they are backwards. Whereas if media was in our hands, we should say to these naked people that they are backward. They're living in the jungles. They're still living in the old age, the stone age, where people did not have clothes. So it's the role of media, basically. So this was the media, basically, at the time of Banu Umayyah, who propagated, who basically told people that the only household of Prophet is Banu Umayyah. On the other hand, Banu Abbas, when they wanted to come into power, they started a new propaganda. And they started to say that since the Prophet was from Quraysh, therefore Abbas was from the Quraysh, and he was the oldest amongst the old companions. Therefore, the Khilafat was moved from Prophet to Abbas, and it came to us because we are the children of Abbas. And the simple people who never seen Imam Ali, who never saw Ahlul Bayt, they believed in them, especially people living in these areas where the Banu Abbas was. So at this time, when Banu Umayyah was in charge, when Banu Umayyah had the rulership, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, his revolution was apparent. We can see that when he used to go to Hajj on the day of Arafah, when everyone was there, we have seen in the history that he used to stand up in a high place and he used to call to people and tell people that remember that Anna Rasulullah Imam, Now this is, we need the emphasis, I need the attention over here. That Imam is not saying that Rasulullah is Nabiullah. He was the messenger of God. He was the prophet, because he's saying Rasulullah. Rather, he's saying he was Imam. And with the inna Rasulullah, he was Imam. Imamun. Rasul was Imam. What does it mean? It means he was the leader. Thumma Aliyun. After him, it was Ali ibn Abi Talib. Thumma al-Hasan, thumma al-Husayn. Thumma Ali ibn al-Husayn, thumma Muhammad ibn Ali. Thumma, and after this, Imam used to quiet, like he wasn't saying his own name. And we have the riwayah, which Supreme Leader also narrates in the book, like Divisto Panja Saleh, like 250 years of mankind. In that, he narrates this narration, and he says that this narration, I love this narration. Why? Because Imam Sadiq, on the day of Arafah, in the land of Arafah, he stood on one direction and he said it this for three times. Then he faced to another place and then he said it for three times. And then on the third place, third direction, he said it for three times. Therefore, he announced it for 12 times that the Rasul was Imam, then Ali, then Imam Hassan, then Imam Hussein, then Imam Zainul Abidin, then Imam Muhammad Baqir, and then obviously, everyone knew that he is the son of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Why he was doing this? This wasn't just mere informing people that he is Imam. This was basically a jihad tabyin against two regimes. One who says Banu Umayyah is the household of the Prophet, and the other who says Banu Abbas is the household of the Prophets. So he was basically fighting against these two regimes, wherever he had it. So at the time of Banu Umayyah, he was fighting, apparently, wherever, you know, this is also wrong, that Imam never had the, you know, jihad with the weapon. Yes, he himself never attended any jihad, but he supported those who used to raise against Banu Umayyah. He funded them. Sometimes we have these narrations in the history that he provided them the weapons as well. And that's why many times, they raid at the house of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. At the time of Banu Umayyah and at the time of Banu Abbas as well, especially at the time of Mansur. The reason is, one of the ulama, he used to say that, it's not me because I haven't seen it, I'm quoting one of the ulama, one of the teachers, he said, I have seen in the books that many times before Banu Abbas come to the power, Mansur had meetings with Imam Jafar al-Sadiq how to overcome or how to fight against Banu Umayyah. So which shows that Banu Abbas was with Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, apparently, to know the tricks, to know the ways how to fight against the Banu Umayyah, to have this revolution. So basically there was first revolution, which was led by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which was Alawi revolution. On the other hand, Banu Abbas was with them at that time in order to have this revolution, to obviously throw away the rulership of Banu Umayyah. And then later, obviously, they hijacked the whole revolution and they come to the power. Why? Because they had their own propaganda, they had their own media, which was, on the other hand, was doing the propaganda. What was that? That Banu Abbas is the household of the Prophet. They are from Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. So here comes the time when it comes difficult for Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And this was the hardest revolutionary actions, or we can say like the fight which Imam had at that time, at the time of Banu Abbas. So the first thing to remember is that at the time of Banu Abbas, Banu Umayyah, Imam had the apparent revolution. This revolution was to make organization, because in the Persian we have the word tashkilat. Now, this is also misunderstood. We have Pakistani brothers as well, so it's especially for them. In Pakistan, they misunderstood this word tashkilat. They think that this means to make different groups, and that's why we are divided in many groups. You know, we have, because the literal translation in English, tashkilat is organization. We have Imamiyah organization, and I should not take the names, but we have many organizations. The brothers and sisters knows. What does this organization means? When you look at the book, Karbayat Tashkilati Shavat, from the Supreme Leader. He mentions that Tashkilat, what does this organization mean? It means that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, especially he talks about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So at the time of Imam Sadiq, what does this organization mean? It means that he has his representatives all around the world who are spread in the world in different places. And whatever he wants to say to the people, whatever he wants people to hear, they must hear through his representatives in all around the world at the same time. Let me say this again, because I need to link this with the Islamic Revolution of Iran. And then when I give the example, it becomes more clear for everyone. Organization means that Imam Sadiq, when he wants to convey a message, you know, at that time, there wasn't any mean like WhatsApp, I don't know, the Facebook, YouTube, and all those news. So what was the mean? Means were the representatives. He had assigned many representatives all around the world where he had almost everywhere his representatives. The representative of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who used to generally in the Hawza, when you talk about it, they just remember them as collecting the zakat and khums. Or maybe answering the questions, the fiqhi questions. But that wasn't the only thing he was doing. Do you think that Imam, who is the leader, who's supposed to lead the whole Muslim Ummah, who's fighting against Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas, his representative's duty is to just collect the khums and zakat and answer the people when they ask a question? Is this what the representative should do? No, this was an organization. This was a big organization. Where when Imam wanted to convey a message, he used to write a letter to everyone. And everyone in every single part of that world where they were talking about this. They were making people aware of that. And this was the thing which Imam Khomeini learned from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. You know what Imam Khomeini did before the revolution, before he comes? He used to convey a message in the Hawza. Before he officially starts his revolution against the Shah, he used to convey the message to his students. And he used to say to his students that you need to go to the parts, different parts of the country, wherever you belong. If you're going in the Muharram, take this message on Muharram. And that's why we see many revolutionaries in today's world, when they talk about Imam Khomeini, they say that when Imam Khomeini used to deliver a speech or a lecture, we had the duty to take this. With all those hardships, with the cassettes, I don't know, the paper and all those, sometimes they have to memorize things because Savak or the Shah regime, they were after them. And they knew that Imam Khomeini has given a speech, and therefore these Tullab or the Hawza students, they will spread it. And that's why on the way, when they were traveling on the bus or car or taxi, the Savak, they used to stop them, they used to check them. They used to investigate the places where they were. Why Muharram processions were, banned by Shah at that time? Because that was the mean, that was the same organization which was made by Imam Sadiq, and it was used by Imam Khomeini in his time. This is what Tashkilat or organization means. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam first, because at the time of Banu Umayyah, he had open hand. Banu Umayyah was becoming weak, because on the other hand, the revolutionaries, they were coming into power. And that's why in these first 10 years, he had the time to first develop a Hawza, where he had 4,000 students. Now the interesting thing is the most number you find of the different school of thoughts, firqa, in the time of Imam Sadiq, it is not after him. And he welcomed everyone. He never stopped anyone coming to his place. Even we have about our ulama. If you read the life of Shahid Sani or Sahib al-Loma, we have Shahid Awal Shahid Sani, we have Sheikh Mufid. When you read their life, they used to teach fiqh in five different schools, for five different schools. They were teaching all the four Ahl Sunnah and Shia, Imamiyah as well. Do we have, sorry to say, any scholar like this in today's world at this time, in the Hawza, who teach all these fiqh to the people, who can have all types of students, telling them according to what they believe in? This was what Imam Sadiq has done. And that's why we see Abu Hanifa was his student, Imam Malik was. And then we have like Shafi'i, Maliki, and Hanbali later, like two were indirect, two were direct students of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Why it was? Because Imam, this was another case, like some people take it as taqiyya. This is another issue which Supreme Leader has also addressed, that this wasn't taqiyya. That if someone is coming to you, he's asked you a question, and he does not belong to your own faith, you're not responsible to answer him of what you believe. Answer him according to his own faith. This is taught by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. But unfortunately, because we are in a place where we have, you know, this fight against two different schools, so we always try to prove ourselves. Whereas in fiqh things, obviously, we have different qawaid as well in the fiqh, which talks about this. Anyways, so Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, at the time of Banu Umayyah, he had open hand. The first thing he did, the first revolutionary act, was to have the Hawza, starting teaching 4,000 students. Can you imagine that before Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we did not have this revolution in the sciences or education or the ilm al-deen, which was made by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And unfortunately, in today's world, we just look at this aspect of Imam and we leave the rest of the things which Imam did. The second thing in his revolution, what he did is to make organization, to make representative, appoint them into different places. And number three was Tabiyyin, which Supreme Leader, also in this speech we have seen, that he was mentioning Jihad-e-Tabiyyin. To clarify people are in confusion. And we still have people in this time who are in confusion, who don't know what to do. Even in the Hawza we have these people. Like when the Islamic Revolution happened, the people were going to the imposed war. There were some scholars who used to say, like, going to the front line is haram, you should not go. And they used to say to Imam Khomeini that you're making people's, like, the blood of these people are on your neck. It's upon you. You're responsible for this bloodshed. If our youth goes and they got killed. Why? Because they never understood how A'imma lived their life. The whole life of A'imma was revolutionary. Every single aspect. So we cannot say that A'imma had a revolutionary aspect, as it was corrected by brother Sheikh Ali. Because I was initially trying to make the topic that the revolutionary aspect of Imam Sadiq. What I meant is that the whole life of Imam Sadiq was revolutionary, but it gives another meaning. That one of the aspects of his life was revolutionary. No, his whole life was revolutionary. Why the whole life was revolutionary? I'm using this word for many times, revolutionary, revolutionary. What does revolutionary being means? This is important, right? When we say that I'm revolutionary, what does it mean? Number one, he believes in God. He knows God, Khoda Shenasi. He must have this thing in him. A revolutionary person, with all his, you know, existence, he believes in God, number one. Number two, he is bound to religious rituals. He is bound to Islamic rituals. The things that are haram is haram for him. The things that are halal, they are halal for him. These are the basics of being revolutionary. And this is a big revolution, you know. Imagine that a person has to observe all the halals and all the harams. Obviously, he has to bring a revolution in himself. Every single movement, he is fighting against himself, which is Jihad-e-Akbar, obviously. So this Jihad-e-Akbar is also part of being revolutionary. So, number one, believing in Allah. Number two, respecting or living according to the rituals of the Islam. Number three, which is very important, is that never bow to Taghut. Never say yes or submit to Taghut, or never be independent when there is a haq on Taghut. When there is a batil, false, and there is a truth. Never say, like, let's see for some time what happens. Do we need to go this way or that way? No, if you're revolutionary, you know the truth. And truth is, truth, about truth is said, like it's so bright that you can see it. You know this is truth. Even in the depth of your heart, you feel it that this is true. This is the characteristics of truth. So Imam Sadiq was revolutionary. So first thing, in the time of Banu Umayyah. Now the important part is, what happened at the time of Banu Abbas? Because in the time of Banu Umayyah, it is apparent, he had the Hawza, he had students, he trained students. After that, he had his own organization, his representatives went there. On the day of Arafah, any place, especially about the Arafah, I was listening to one of the speeches of Supreme Leader, which he gave for the Hujjaj, like the ones who go for the Mas'uleen for the Hajj. He said that the Arafah or the Hajj is the mean of advertising, is the mean which is for conveying your message. Why? Because people who from day, night, 24 hour, 24/7, they listen or see the false or fake news, at the Hajj you have the time to meet them personally. So when you see them personally, you can convey the truth to them. And he said, look at the Hajj as a mean of transferring the truth to the rest of the world, to the rest of the Muslim world. So this was what Imam was doing, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that at the time of Hajj, when it was Arafah, he used to stand, he used to announce about the truth, what is false. And none of the Imams, you will see that they have said, I am the Imam. It needs a courage for a person to say that, especially at the time when you have these enemies next to you. But Imam Sadiq has done this. At the day of Arafah, he announced that I am the Imam. Why? Because these two regimes, there are two different ways of fighting with them. And it was shown by Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam how to deal with them. Now what happened is Banu Abbas was with Alawis in order to overthrow the Banu Umayyah. But when Banu Umayyah went and Banu Abbas came to the power, the situation changed. The apparent revolution went into the hidden revolution. And that might be one of the aspects, according to the teachers, they say one of the aspects why ulama, they don't talk about the revolutionary aspect or the revolution of Imam, or they just talk about the Hawza and the seminary and teaching and all those, it's because the rest of the life at the time of Banu Abbas, Imam's revolution or Imam's struggles, they were hidden. They weren't like the Banu Umayyah. Because Banu Umayyah, everyone knew that they are the false. They killed Imam Hussein. Everyone was fed up of Banu Umayyah, Banu Umayyah's, you know, sins, their mistakes, their corruption. Everyone knew about it. So what happened is when Banu Abbas came to the ruling, everyone thought that these are the reasonable ones. You know, the similar situation is going on in Pakistan. I need to give some examples for our brothers and sisters. That similar situation, we have tried everyone. There is only one left. You know, for the freedom now, people are raising their voice for the freedom. What is happening? Because people are ignorant. You know, when we talk about the change of regime, what does Imam means? What does Ahlul Bayt means? The regime, the change of regime, according to the Imam, according to the Ahlul Bayt, according to the God, is when the regime changes, there should be an Ilahi regime in place of that previous regime. This should what happen. If Banu Umayyah is going, the next regime who will come, it should be Ilahi. For example, if Shah was thrown away from here, the next system which needs to rule the Iran of that time, it should be Ilahi regime. And that's why we have the system of Wilayat al-Faqih, the system of Fuqaha, the Wilayat or the system of Islam. And that's why Imam Khomeini announced, I will do the referendum. And if you choose the Islamic referendum, I'm here. If you do not, then I'm not here. Everyone chose the Islamic. Why? Because the goal was the Ilahi goal, the divine goal. So if there is any place in the world, if you strive to change a regime, the next regime shouldn't be like, you know, from the worst to the bad. This shouldn't be the case. Unfortunately, this is what's happening. According to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, if the regime is meant to be changed, then it should be the Ilahi. That's why Allah sends Musa against Fir'aun, Ibrahim against Namrud. Why Musa? Why not anyone else? Why Allah does not oppose any other king over Fir'aun? Because regime is meant to be changed. If regime is meant to be changed, then the next regime is Allah's regime. It should be Ilahi. The government should be Ilahi government, the divine government. It shouldn't be someone who participated in the previous revolution, now he wants his own, you know, portion out of it. As it was happened in the Inqilab as well. In the Inqilab, what was Bani Sadr? The group of Bani Sadr. They were looking for their own portion out of this cake. They want their own piece. So later when the Imam, he found that he's not with the Ilahi, you know, the goals and the aims and the principles, he's not following that thing which we have brought in this country, then obviously he's expelled. He said like he's no more the president of this country. So when the regime needs to be changed, the next regime must be an Ilahi regime. What happened in the time of Imam Sadiq is when Banu Umayyah went, Banu Abbas came, who was hidden Yazid, apparent Alawi, who was apparent Husayni, hidden Yazidi. Let's say like this. Obviously we have seen the characteristics of Banu Abbas later, how they killed the Ahlul Bayt. The propaganda they had against Ahlul Bayt, that no one should know that Ahlul Bayt are the real descendants of the Prophet. It's Banu Abbas, the descendants of the Prophet. And within them there were two groups basically. So these propaganda shows that Imam went into another phase, the second phase of revolution, the second phase of fighting. And this phase was a hidden phase. Why? Because the Banu Abbas knew all the tricks which was done by Imam, all the ways of fighting, you know, all the methods of fighting Banu Umayyah. Banu Abbas knew it, how Imam did so, how Imam conveyed his message to his representatives. So they knew Imam very well. Now this is the hard part, that when you have someone next to you in the revolution, and later they separate, they hijack the revolution from you, and they know what you have did with the previous regime, how you fight with them, they know everything about you, what are you gonna do? And that is the time where Imam went to Taqiyya. Imam went to Taqiyya. And this is a beautiful definition brought by Supreme Leader and other revolutionary scholars as well. They said Taqiyya does not mean to forget who you were. Taqiyya does not mean that you forget who you were, or you just hide who you are and do nothing. Taqiyya means to fight with the enemy in a way that he does not acknowledge how you are fighting. He never knows how you're fighting. On the other hand, when they define Taqiyya, they say Taqiyya is a shield. You know, have you seen the sword and the shield in the battlefield? What does this shield do? It hides you. If you have a sword in your hand, you make a movement, they cannot see it because it's behind that. On the other hand, when they attack, when they hit you, it saves you from the enemy. So the first thing is it saves you from the enemy. The second thing is the movement that you're going to have, you're looking for a weak point to hit the enemy. So you're changing your hands, this position of your hand. They cannot see it. And when you hit it, when they feel the pain, they understand from where you hit them. This is what Taqiyya means, that you save yourself from the attack of the enemy, number one. Number two, the movement that you're going to do, the way you're going to attack an enemy, he should not understand. He shouldn't know about your move. And he only and only understands what you have done when he feels the pain. And here is the time when we look at the Islamic revolution, the way the Supreme Leader is tackling the enemies, the way Shahid Qasim Soleimani and others we have seen, the enemies they are attacking. When you go to the Taqiyya, you hit them, you struck them in a way that when they feel the pain, they understand that this was by that person. This is what taqiyya means. And this was the time that in this phase of life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, this revolution was a revolution, but it was in a hidden form. Because when you know there is someone who knows you, and that's why we have seen in the history that many times, Banu, especially Mansur at the end, he used to send his soldiers, the Hakim of the Medina, to the house of Imam to find the weapons, to find the money and all those. But they never found it. Why? Because Imam never gave them any excuse. This is another way of fighting. That when we need to fight with the enemies and we have the enemies who are against us, if you cannot fight apparently, then go to the taqiyya. But taqiyya does not mean to forget yourself. These are some definitions which are wrongly been, or terminologies which are wrongly been understood by our societies. This is not what does it mean. Therefore, when we see the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we see the whole life being a revolutionary life. His every single aspect of his life, every single movement in his life, every single decision of his life was according to that revolutionary, we can say, the characteristic that he had in himself. And it was always about the change. Why? Because he was striving for the Alawi government. First it was against Banu Umayyah. In the second phase it was against Banu Abbas. It was against Banu Abbas. And he never gave the legal authority to Banu Abbas. As we see in the life of Imam Raza alayhi salam, Imam Raza alayhi salam also, he never gave the authority to this illegal, we can say, government, this illegal regime, this arrogant regime. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, what he teaches us is that when you need to find, remember, in your life you will have regimes against you, the arrogant regimes. And he found both regimes, the apparent way and the hidden way. And he has left authority upon us that, look, if I can fight against these two regimes, one apparently, one hiddenly, in your time, if you face such a situation, you can do that as well. But the point is, if we understand the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, we need to understand the life, the personality of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. In one of the narrations, it is said that when Mansur has seen that Imam is not under control, he's uncontrollable, he called Abu Hanifa. And he said to him, at that time Abu Hanifa wasn't the student of Imam. So he called him, he said, because you're faqih, you're scholar, bring 40 questions, ask him. Ask Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, I want to down him. Imam Abu Hanifa says that I was sitting, next to me was Mansur, and then on the other side it was Imam Sadiq, and I started to ask questions. I asked the first question, Imam answered it in a way, in different ways, that this is one way, this is another way, this is another way, and this is my answer. According to your fiqh, it is the answer. According to him, it is like this. According to the fiqh of Medina or the people of Medina, they deal with this like this. And he was surprised by that. And Mansur was ashamed of what he has done. Similarly, many things happened in the life, whereas it is also said in the history that there were three times where Mansur wanted to strike Imam with the sword. Some ulama has said that he has seen all three times the Prophet saying that you should not strike my son. But at the end, there was a time when Mansur finally gave poison to Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Every Imam is martyred either with the sword or with the poison. But you know, when Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was poisoned by Mansur Dawanaqi, my heart says, when he started to feel pain after having that poison, he must have remembered Medina. He himself was in Medina. You know, he might remembered Medina when there were some people who came with the fire at the door of the prophet, who wanted to burn the door of Fatima Zahra. He must have remembered the one who was first poisoned by the enemy, and that was Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. You know, in that pain, he must have remembered his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, sitting next to his brother, Imam Hassan. You know, when Imam Hassan alayhi salam was poisoned, Imam Hussein was there. Abul Fazl al-Abbas was there. His sisters were there. His son was there. Everyone was crying at that time. I never read in any book of history that Imam Hassan has said to his sisters to not cry. I didn't read this. I didn't read this that Imam Hassan saying to Abul Fazl Abbas that, oh brother, don't cry. I didn't see this to say to any one of the households except Hussein. You know, it is narrated that when Imam Hassan alayhi salam seen Imam Hussein crying, he said, brother Hussein, don't cry. La yawm ka yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. Brother Hussein, today you are crying on me. I have my sisters next to me. I have my family holders with me. I have my family with me. I have my children with me. They all are crying. But Brother Hussein, you know, when you will be martyred, there will be no one to cry on you. And the narration says, Imam Hassan alayhi salam started to cry on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Everyone was crying for Imam Hussein. My heart says, when Imam Jafar al-Sadiq was poisoned, he also remembered his father Imam Hussein. He also started to cry for Imam Hussein. For whom? The one who was slaughtered on the land of Karbala. On the land of Karbala. Who was slaughtered. It is narrated that when Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha on the 11th of Muharram, when she came to the body of Imam Hussein, she started to cry. She raised Imam Hussein and she kissed the cutted neck of Imam Hussein and she said, oh brother Hussein, today I'm kissing you at a place where our forefather Rasulullah never kissed you. Hazrat Fatima never kissed you at this place. Imam Ali never kissed you at this place. But I'm kissing on your cutting veins from where your blood was.
Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawmi al-zalimin wa say'alamu al-ladhina zalamu ayyamun qalibiyyan qalibun. May Allah accept our ibadat and gathering in this holy night. May Allah forgive all our sins. May Allah cure all those who are sick. There are many people who ask for the du'as, who said to do du'a for them. They have people who need help. There are people who are in the, who are under the burden of loan. There are people who have difficulties in their business, in their work. There are people who have difficulties in their studies. There are people who are sick. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, answer the prayers of all of these people, inshallah. From the hadirin as well, the present, obviously they have their own hajat, they have their own hajat. May Allah accept their hajat, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq to study and learn the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam and spread it to the world, inshallah, in its true way. May Allah keep the Maraji Uzzam, especially the Supreme Leader Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and may Allah keep him safe. May Allah give the victory to all the Muslimin around the world who are fighting for the truth, who are fighting for the Islam. May Allah give us the chance to see the day when Imam of the time, Imam Asr alayhi salatu wasalam, will reappear. May Allah keep us amongst his best companions for the qabooliyyat or acceptance of the du'as, for the forgiveness of all marhumin and marhumat, and for the forgiveness of our souls, and for the hastening in the reappearance of Imam of the time, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Please recite aloud salawat.